Psalm 61 is where I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning, Psalm 61, and I want to share some thoughts with you from the Word of God, and specifically from this psalm. I was able to talk with Shirley yesterday morning as we discussed her situation there. She's in the hospital, and I encouraged her to read Psalm 61 because it was something that God had encouraged me with, and I told her, I said, I'm going to be preaching on it tomorrow, and I think it'll just meet the needs of your heart as you go through this time. And she talked to me this morning, said it was a blessing. So Psalm 61, I'm going to read the psalm there, and then we will pray, and we'll get right into the message this morning. Psalm 61, verse 1, the Bible says there, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how I thank you. Lord, how I thank you for this psalm, how I thank you for your promises, how I thank you for the hope that you give to us. Lord, even at this time, as we have to be apart from one another, as far as not able to hold regular church services, I thank you that you are still faithful. I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I also thank you for the technology that we have that allows us to be able to at least have services virtually. Lord, we know it's not the same thing. We confess to you, Lord, that not being able to meet together in person, Lord, it's not a substitute for what you have commanded us to do, which is to gather together in your name. We know that, Lord, this is not the same thing, and yet, Lord, you've put us into this situation where for this time, this is what we have to do. Lord, we pray that you would anoint this time. Even though it's over electronic devices, Lord, we pray that it would be a special time. I pray that you would keep distractions down for those that are at home. Lord, I pray that you would allow the children to just be able to sit still and pay attention. Lord, I ask that you'd help them with that. Lord, I pray that even the people's pets would sit and be quiet and not interrupt, Lord, that there would be no knock at the door, that the telephone would not ring, that, Lord, if there are any of those distractions that get through, that you would allow people to just be able to turn those things off for a moment and focus. Lord, I pray that you would allow that to happen so that your word can go forth. Lord, would you arrest our attention for all of us? And then, Lord, would you meet with us in a special way? Would you use this psalm to encourage every heart? I'm trusting you to do it, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message that I want to give to you this morning is A Psalm from the End of the Earth. A Psalm from the End of the Earth. And obviously, it comes from Psalm 61 here. And I want you to think about who is doing the speaking here. God obviously is the one who authored the psalm, and yet he used a human instrument to do so, and that human instrument, that human author, is King David. King David is known as, to some, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote many of the psalms that we have in our Bible. And boy, I would encourage you, Christian, during times like this, and especially if you're going through a time of suffering now, get into the psalms, read them, meditate on them, pray the different things that are mentioned in the Psalms, the promises that are there. Claim them from the Lord, and the encouraging words, and sometimes even the discouraging parts that where the psalmist would cry out to God. Pray those things before the Lord and meditate on them. It will lift your heart. God designed the Psalms to minister to our soul in a great way, in a way that many other places in the Bible just don't do. They're meant for other facets of our life, and the Psalms, I believe, are really meant to encourage us. But this psalm here was written for the stringed instruments. Remember, the Psalms are really songs. It's really a song book that God gave to us. We don't know what melody would have gone with these Psalms. We could guess, certainly, in some places, but
We don't really know the melody, but we know that it was a song book. And this one was no different. The title of the psalm, if your Bible carries the titles, which most do, mine says, "To the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David." Now, Neginah is the singular for Neginoth, which would have been all of the stringed instruments. So this was specifically a psalm that was written for the stringed instruments. So I don't know, maybe something similar to a violin, Abigail Joy Weiss, maybe would have played something like this. I don't know. But stringed instruments would have been the ones specifically probably to have a solo part in this psalm. When was it written? Well, we don't know for sure, but some people believe that this psalm was written when David was running from his son, Absalom, who had deceitfully stolen part of the kingdom from his father David and sought to kill his father. And David, as we know from God's word, had to flee from Jerusalem, cross over the brook Kidron, and he went into the wilderness at that time. As the psalmist titles it, it was the end of the earth. In other words, he was backed into a corner at this time. And you know, sometimes it is the will of God in the Christian life for us to be backed into a corner, to be what we would consider at the end of the earth, at the end of our wits, at the end of our ability to really say, well, things are bad, but they're not really that bad. There are times in the Christian life, and friends, let me remind you, it's the will of God sometimes for you and for me in the Christian life to be backed into a corner where we feel like we are in the end of the earth. So let me ask you this question. Do you find yourself right now backed into a corner? Do you feel like you could describe your position just like the psalmist did here, King David, by saying, I'm at the end of the earth? If that's your case, then this psalm is for you. And I want to point out to you in this psalm four items that David possessed from the end of the earth. Four items that David possessed, by the way, that you should also possess at the end of the earth. So let's look at the first one. And the first one is David's prayer. That's verses 1 through 2. David, at the end of the earth, sought God in prayer, and you and I should do the same. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again, where he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I notice there that David says this. He says, "Hear my cry." David was not afraid to cry out before the Lord. And friends, I want to encourage you, so many Christians, when they're in a time of trouble especially, but also when things are going well, they neglect prayer. Don't neglect prayer. Cry out to God when you're in a situation. Don't cry to your neighbor. But friends, I say this often enough, and you're probably tired of it, but forgive me, okay? And that is, I think Facebook has been one of the worst things for Christian living that has ever come down the pike. Because we find it so easy when we're going through a difficulty to cry out to our Facebook friends. Friends, there's certainly a time and a place to go to your friends, and I'm not saying that we should hold everything in, but I'm saying first and foremost, we ought to cry out to God. Do you cry out to your Facebook friends more than you cry out to God? And I fear that many times the answer for us is yes. And friends, that's nothing less than sin. We need to cry out to God. David did. David, in his cry, said, "God, attend to my prayer." Can you picture? He's asking God to, I picture it this way, to God, would you get up off of your throne? Would you roll up your sleeves and, Lord, would you care for me in my time of need? Nobody else can. God, if you don't attend to this, if you don't stop what you're doing, so to say, and attend to my needs, God, nothing is going to happen for me. That's what David cried out. He cried out from the end of the earth in his prayer. You see, he was backed into a corner. He was in the wasted wilderness. He was overwhelmed. Notice what he says in verse number 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." I don't know about you, but I can say there are times in my life where I feel very much overwhelmed. where I feel like, God, there's just so much coming at me at this time. I could handle maybe one or two things, but God, it seems like every 5 minutes something else is happening. I know I'm not Job, but sometimes I feel a little bit like Job, where one messenger comes with bad news, and then another messenger comes with bad news, and a third, and before I know it, everything I thought was secure has been taken from me. You know, all of us feel that way at one time or another, and that's the way the psalmist felt. But notice what he says in verse 2 in the second part, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, he trusted God to lead him to a high rock. That rock, notice, was higher than him. What that means is this: it's a rock that I am not able to attain to. I'm not able to climb up to it. God, it's beyond my reach. I need you to lift me up out of this valley. And God, it's higher than I can't get there. You're going to need to lead me to it. And that's the truth for all of us, is that there are times in our lives, and maybe even it's that way for you right now, where you need supernatural help. And to pray is the right thing. God wants you to pray because he wants to lead you to that rock. Now, keep your place in Psalm 61, but turn with me to a couple of different places. Let's look at Psalm 18. When David cried out to God to lead him to the rock that is higher, that was higher than him, what was he talking about? Well, Psalm 18 gives us a glimpse. Psalm 18, look at verse 46. Notice what the Word of God says in Psalm 18, 46. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Notice that the rock that was higher than David is God himself. Notice Psalm 27 and verse 5. Psalm 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Notice Psalm 40 and verse number 2. The psalmist often used the term of a rock that God would hide him in. Psalm 40 and verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Look at Psalm 62 and verse number 6. Psalm 62 and verse 6. He only is my rock and my salvation, speaking of God. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Look at verse number 6 of the same chapter. Verse number 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then in verse 6, he said the same thing. Then look with me at one more place, Isaiah 32 and verse number 2. Isaiah 32 and verse number 2. This obviously is Isaiah speaking here. And he says, verse number 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah there is talking about a time in the future when God would redeem his people Israel out of their captivity, and he mentions that there would be a man who would be a covert, who would be a rock. Well, who is that? Jesus himself said, upon this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 18. The rock is God himself, and specifically the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when David cried out, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, he's saying, God, I need you to hide me in you. God, I need you to draw me to you. You are my protection. You are my safety. Listen, friends, he was not just crying out, God, you've got to get me out of these circumstances, although I'm sure he wanted that. He was saying, God, in these circumstances, lead me to a place where I can ride above the circumstances. Lead me to yourself. Friends, that's where our prayer needs to be. Many times when we're in a situation, we say, dear Lord, get me out of this circumstance. God, I don't like this. God, you need to change these things. And friends, it's not wrong to ask God to change things, but we ought to really pray, God, if it is your will for me to maintain these circumstances, then God, lead me to yourself. Let me stand upon you. Let me be hidden in the covert of thy wings. Let's go back to Psalm 61. Remember, we're looking at four items that David possessed that we should also possess. The first one was his prayer. The second is his confidence, and that's verses 3 through 8. His confidence. Three through six, his confidence. Notice what he says in verse number 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David's confidence came from his past experiences. Do you see that in verse 3? He says, God, you have been a shelter for me. In other words, in the past, God, you've been a strong tower from the enemy. You see, he had seen God come through for him in the past. Have you ever seen God come through for you? And I know the answer is yes, God has come through for you in the past. I know I can look back on my life and say, wow, I went through a difficult time there, and yet God did lead me to a rock that was higher than myself. God got me through. Friends, he's done that for you as well. He's been a shelter for you. He's been a strong tower. Again, not that the difficulties went away necessarily, but God preserved you through those times. David's confidence was in his past experience, but I also want you to see that he had confidence because he had determined trust. Look at verse number 4. He was determined with trust. Verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah, which means meditate on this, think on this. Listen, he had determined trust. Notice he said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, we don't know for sure, but we imagine that this psalm was written as David was fleeing from Absalom. Remember, he was dwelling in Jerusalem. The tabernacle was there. Remember, the tabernacle is where he would meet with God, right? You remember the tabernacle and how God set it up in the wilderness, gave Moses the instructions for it? And God said, basically, I'll meet my people, I'll meet with them in the tabernacle. And the Bible tells us that if any man wanted to spend time with God, he had to leave the camp in the wilderness and go out to the tabernacle, which was outside the camp, and there he could talk with God. Moses did that, Joshua did that, and if anyone else wanted to do that, that's where they had to go. But in David's time, the tabernacle was there in Jerusalem, and David is being driven out of Jerusalem, and yet what does he say in his determined trust? He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now, wait a minute, David, you're at the end of the earth. You're being driven out of Jerusalem. How can you say when you're in the wasted wilderness at the end of the earth that you're going to dwell in the tabernacle of God forever? And here's the answer. The answer is because he knew God was with him, that God would be with him wherever he was. Friends, we look at this building around us here and the opportunity to meet together. And friends, again, I never want to give you the idea that worshiping together through YouTube is an accurate and a proper way for us to worship together long term. It is not. Never let YouTube become a substitute for meeting together in God's house. Friends, listen, if you are able, when all of this is done, when this quarantine stuff is over in a week or so, if you are able to be here, even if it's a sacrifice, even if it's difficult, even if you have to go through a little bit of pain or whatever to do it, friends, let me encourage you, if you are able to come, because it's not a substitute. But I do want to encourage you with this. What we're in right now, God has placed us in a situation where we need to be in this situation. We're stuck apart from one another, but I want you to understand that the tabernacle of God is with you. This building that we meet in here, yes, God meets with us here, but God also wants to meet with you there in your home. Even if you live alone, or maybe you live with roommates who are not Christians or whatever, and maybe you're the only one in your home that's a dedicated Christian, I want you to know that God is with you. You can have the tabernacle of God right where you are. David had confidence in that. He had determined trust. But he also said in verse number 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You see, he was trusting in the covert of the wings of God. A covert is a place, I looked it up, it's a place which covers and shelters. That's a covert. It's a place that covers and shelters. And the psalmist says, that God's wings would always be a place of shelter and cover for him. You know, Jesus in Luke 13, 34, we won't turn there for time's sake, but I would encourage you, write down, look it up later. Do you remember as Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry and he looks out over Jerusalem and he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets." And then he says to Jerusalem in that cry over Jerusalem, he says, "How many times would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings?" In other words, that's an illustration of if you know anything about chickens, and I don't know much other than what my parents have told me. They, of course, were farmers before I was born, and they used to tell us about chickens and how a hen would be very protective of her chicks, and it's very dangerous. My mom used to tell me for chicks to get wet. If it's raining, they need to be inside or they will catch some kind of a sickness and die. And so if it were raining and there were no place to cover and shelter, the hen might open up her wings a little bit and the little chicks would huddle underneath their mom, the hen there, and they would hide under her wings. A good picture for Mother's Day, right? And happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. But they would protect themselves there under wings. And Jesus used that as an illustration of what he was willing to do with the children of Jerusalem. In other words, all the people who live there. Friends, I want you to understand, God wants to do that with you as well. God's willing to. If you'll run to him, he'll spread his wings over you. Again, it's not that the rain ceases. It's not that he always calms the storm. But he will sometimes, and other times, he'll protect you through it. God is willing to do that. David had that confidence, that determined trust. Now let's look at the third item that David had. The first was his prayer. The second was his confidence. The third is his focus on God. Look at verses 5 through 7 of this chapter. David's focus on God. "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." David had a focus on God. Not only did he pray, not only did he from the end of the earth have a determined confidence in God, but listen, he also had his focus on God. Where is your focus today? Here's what he says to God. He says, "You have heard my vows." He remembers what he has been taught about God from God's own word, that God would hear his vows. He also says, "God, look what you've done for me in the past. I'm focusing on you. Not only have you heard my vows, God, you've given me a heritage of those that fear thy name." And here's what a heritage is. A heritage, we might use the word inheritance. It's something that is passed down from one generation to another. A heritage is an inheritance. And God gave an inheritance to David. He said this to David, basically, "David, because you are my son, here's what you get from me." And God wants to do the same thing for us. And here's the heritage that David had. It was the heritage of those that fear God. Now, before we look at what the heritage of those that fear God is, remember David's heritage? We don't have the time to look at it, but it's in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. In 2 Samuel chapter number 7, the Bible tells us that David had a thought in his mind. When God had subdued all of David's enemies in the wars that he had in the early part of his reign, David looked around and said, "There's peace all around me, and look at all that God has done for me." And God's house, the tabernacle, is just a tent. And here I have a house that's a house of cedar. In other words, it's beautiful. It's decked out with all of these beautiful things. And I dwell in a house of cedar, and God's house is a tent. I need to build God a temple. I need to build God a house. And the prophet comes to him and says, "Yes, David, that thought is from God. You need to go ahead and do that." And yet as the prophet leaves David's presence, the word of God comes to the prophet and says, "You need to turn around and tell David he's not going to build the house for me." And so Nathan, I believe it was, the prophet, did go back and said, "David, here's what God has said. You're not going to build the house. But here's what God has said. God has said, I'm going to build you a house, David. Not only will you reign and I'm going to bless your reign, But when you die, I'm going to give your son the ability to reign, and he's going to reign forever. And if he does wrong, I'm not going to cast him out as I did with Saul. Rather, I'm going to discipline him to get him back on track. And I'm going to bless not only you, but your lineage after you. And David thanked God and said, God, it's amazing to me that you would not only speak blessings about me, but also about my house. That was the heritage, the inheritance that God had given David. And friends, we find that that is the heritage of those that fear God's name. Do you fear God's name? You might ask, Pastor, what does it mean to fear God's name? Friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us. And it also says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Friends, do you have a desire to live for God? Do you understand who God is? Do you have a reverence for God that causes you to hate that which is evil? As a Christian, you should. Friends, we can't flirt with the world. We can't live with the things of this world and play patty cake with the devil and then worship God on Sunday. Do you fear the Lord? Turn with me to Psalm 34. Daniel read Psalm 34 for us for our scripture reading. But I want you to see how this heritage is of those that fear God is connected with Psalm 34. The heritage of those that fear the Lord. Look with me at verse number 6 of Psalm 34. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. That's part of the heritage of those that fear God. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. In other words, you will not lack anything. And if you fear the Lord, that's part of the heritage of those that fear God's name. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Notice verse number 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Notice verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do you see there that the heritage of those that fear God's name is that God will protect them? But did you also notice that the psalmist there described what the fear of the Lord is? It's to hate evil. It's described here as keeping our tongue from evil and from speaking guile, departing from evil, doing good, seeking peace, and pursuing it. That is the fear of the Lord. And friends, you might say, well, I have a desire to do that, but boy, I find myself, my tongue is not used the way it should. I'm often saying things I shouldn't. I'm often, rather than seeking peace, I'm often vengeful. Friends, what you need to do is cry out to God and humble yourself before him and recognize that in your own human strength, you cannot overcome the power of the flesh. But that if you'll humble yourself before God and cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would live his life out through you, that he would fill you with the Holy Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in your life. If you'll humble yourself before God, then you will be able to live in that way. That's the fear of the Lord. David's focus was on God. And then we need to go back to Psalm 61. And let me close with this. Friends, we've seen that David had four items that he possessed at the end of the earth that you and I ought to have. It was prayer, it was confidence, it was a focus on God, and now verse number 8, it was a settled heart. A settled heart. Notice verse number 8, he says, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." You see, he had seen in verses 5 through 7 that God would prepare mercy and truth, which would preserve him. And then he said, "I have a settled heart." Now, that's my words. But he says, "I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." While he's at the end of the earth, not when God brings him back to Jerusalem. Now, God did bring him back, but not just that time. He had settled his heart that I'm determined in my heart that I will praise your name forever. Some of you are going through difficult things right now. Some of you are having days where, whether because of sickness or some other reason, you're miserable throughout the day. Let me encourage you right now, today, praise God's name. Take a moment today, maybe when this message is done. Take just a moment and think through the blessings that God has given you. And thank God out loud for your many blessings. As the song says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Take the opportunity to just praise the name of God, not just for what He's given you, but take the time to praise Him for who He is. And if you need help finding out who God is, look in His Word, specifically the Psalms. And praise God for who He is. God delights in that. And the psalmist said, I have a settled heart, I will praise thy name forever. And then he said, that I may daily perform my vows. He had mentioned earlier in the psalm that he had vowed some things before God. We don't know what those vows were, but those were promises that he had made to God, that he had said out loud before God, that God, I will do such and such. Friends, I would encourage you, it's not wrong to vow a vow. Obviously, the Bible tells us, don't vow something and then turn back from it. That's wickedness. If you've done that in the past, confess it as sin, recognize it as such, and move on. Let's not take vows lightly, however, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we should shy away from them. What is it that God has spoken to you about? What is it that God has touched your heart to do? Have you vowed before the Lord? Then, friends, you need to fulfill that vow. You need to do what God has told you to do. You see, David would not be back and forth with his decision and his dedication to God. He was going to daily perform his vows. He had a settled heart. What about you? You might be in the situation where, boy, when things were going well, maybe even in this revival meetings that we had, and weren't they great revival meetings? Boy, God met with us. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit was here and present with us and touched our hearts. I know He did mine. Many of you spoke to me about that and said, Pastor, God really spoke to my heart. I heard several, or I should say a few different people who said to me, Pastor, those may have been the best revival meetings we've had. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God met with us in a great way. Perhaps you made a vow to God during that time. Maybe you said, Dear Lord, right here at the altar, or maybe it was in your chair or whatever, you said, Dear Lord, with your help, I will do X, whatever it is. But maybe now, as we've gotten out of those revival meetings, and as a church, it seems like God just kind of slapped us in the face, doesn't it? Seems like God just really brought us to a place where we were, here we are in a pretty much empty auditorium this morning, and all of that. Have you gotten discouraged because of that? Have you not daily performed your vows because things got difficult? Friends, may I very humbly say to you, as a sinner just like you are, a failure just like you are, your pastor's no better than you, but may I just say this, that if you're not daily performing the vows that you've given to the Lord, then friends, that's sin. And there's a need to repent. There's a need to turn from your sin. There's a need to confess it before God. And friends, move on. And don't just forget the vow. Get up and allow the Holy Spirit of God to cleanse you with the blood of Jesus Christ. But then move on and daily perform those vows. Have that settled heart. And so the four things that we see that David had was prayer. And you need to pray, and I do too. David had confidence. You and I need to have confidence in God. David's focus was on God, and your focus, my focus, should be on God. David had a settled heart. You see, sometimes in the Christian life, it is the will of God to bring us to the end of the earth. Do you find yourself in that situation right now? Would you describe your position as being at the end of the earth? Then do you have these four things? Do you possess these things? And if not, then ask God to give them to you. Let's pray, and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Lord, I thank you very much for your word, and I thank you for Psalm 61. What a wonderful, blessed psalm that is. Thank you for the testimony of it. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us in your word that even somebody as great as King David went through major times of discouragement. And Lord, if that psalm was written when he was fleeing from Absalom, we understand that
Lord, that was really a result of his own sin. After his sin with Bathsheba, his life seemed to have all kinds of trouble. And Lord, perhaps our struggles are because of our own sin. But Lord, we know that just like you had not forsaken David, even as he tasted the harvest of his own sin, and it was a bitter taste, yet you were with him through it. You would preserve him. Your mercy and truth went before him. And we know that even through our sin and the circumstances that come to us because of our sin, you're going to do the same for us. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to pray. Help us to have confidence in you. Help us to have our focus on you. Dear Lord, would you teach us to have a settled heart? Holy Spirit of God, please use this time, use this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our pianist, Abby Grossen, to go ahead and play a hymn. Right there where you are, I would encourage you to make an altar out of your couch there or a chair, wherever you are. If you're driving in the car, I would encourage you just pray in your heart as you drive along. Maybe just spend that time with God and say, God, I confess to you that I've not had times of prayer, Lord, that I've not been performing my vows, Lord, that I've not had a settled heart. My focus has been on problems and not you. God, it's sin. I confess it as such. Change my heart and my mind. Short time of invitation here. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you're watching and you know that you're a sinner, as the Bible says all of us are, that we've come short of the glory of God. Maybe you sense that God is convicting you of the fact that you're a sinner and under his judgment, and you want to know how you can have peace with God. I want you to understand, friend, that God loves you. Jesus Christ is the proof that God loves you. Jesus Christ is God's Son. God sent him to carry your sin on the cross and pay for it. After he died on the cross and paid for your sin, he rose again from the grave, proving that he is eternal life. And he'll give you that eternal life if you'll believe on him. If you'd like more information on that, you can look up our website, Madison Baptist Church, Wisconsin. If you'll Google that, you'll find our church. Our information is on there, our phone number. We have a contact form. You can contact us through that form, or you can call us or text us at our number. We'd be glad to help you if you need to know how you can have peace with God. As God has spoken to your heart, let's use this time for a quiet prayer and meditation on the things of God.